the blinds and all the lashes round the night room.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here. Now, if you've tuned in over the last 2 weeks, you would have heard a lovely talk by Tony Zuniga, You Are Made for Greatness, Why Settle for Anything Less? So we now have his talk on stewardship. So go and get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. You will really enjoy this.
Good morning. I don't know how to thank all of you. So many of you have come up to me and said they've been praying all night for me.
Gee, that's wonderful.
Keep it up. My wife is still very, very happy to be here in Auckland, New Zealand. We've still got two more days to go, so we'll see what happens. Before I begin on stewardship, let me make one brief announcement. If you will notice, some of you have bought my book, Mother, the Most Beautiful Love in the World. They asked me to autograph it, and I put a date there, November 1st, 1995. So don't call me and say you put the wrong date in there. Let me tell you why it's November the 1st. I finished this book in April of 1995, and I wanted it released. I published it myself in May, during the month of Mary, because this book is about Mary. But the friend who I had a contract with said that the machines had broken down. It took a month, so we went into June, and June said they finally fixed them, but there's seven people ahead of you printing other books, so went into August, and finally said, maybe I can have it printed in October, the month of the rosary. Well, as usual, there was a shortage of paper in the United States. They had the forest fires up in the Northwest. So finally, I got sick and tired. I said, I better get some spiritual help. So I took the original manuscript. I went to where I do my perpetual adoration, and I put the original script right in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of Jesus. I said, okay, Lord, let's talk. I wrote a book about your mother. What are you going to do about it? And it was on November the 1st, All Saints Day, so I told Jesus, if you can do it, and I know you can, and gather all the saints in hell, and apparently Satan is trying to block this book from being published. And so on November the 1st, I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament for three hours, asking God if the book was supposed to be released, to let me know when. When I got home, my wife, Mamie, said they just called you from the printer, come off the press. So, in memory of all the saints in heaven and of our Lord Jesus Christ, I put November the 1st, 1995. So that's the reason for mourning. I just want to also relate one letter. I've received hundreds of letters with that book, seriously. One letter that I received from a nun, as a matter of fact, I think she was Sisters of Charity in San Diego. They have a shelter home there for the poor and wayward women. She wrote me a letter and said, Tony, I don't know how to thank you for writing the book. He says, I was a street woman. To put it bluntly, I was a prostitute, like Mary Magdalene. And I slept with any man who put me up for the night and feed me. But I found myself one night finding nobody who could sleep with me. So I went into the shelter home, which was run by the Sisters of Charity. They told me to wait in the lobby while they fixed me a meal and a place to sleep. And your book was there on the coffee table. I began to read it and couldn't put it down. So I gave my life to God, went to confession, and that was the end of my life with the world. And now she belongs to the charity there. So the book has touched many people in many lives. Let me talk about stewardship. Thank you. When I heard the word stewardship, I was telling somebody last night, I think it was Bill Moore, I said, If I write a book about stewardship, I'm going to call it stewardship, and a subtitle, How to Go Through Life Without Walking on Eggshells. Let me tell you why. Most of the people that I meet all over the world are really walking in fear. They're afraid of everything under the sun, and God didn't create us to live in fear. So to me, stewardship means that you have to be in charge of something. We're stewards. God created us to take care of things for Him. Our family, our neighbors, our church,
the poor.
But to me, more important than that, I'd like to thank the steward that I am steward of my own body, my own soul. We have to take care of ourselves first. If we can't do that, we'd never be able to help anybody else.
Of course, when you talk about stewardship, we immediately go into how do you take care of him.
So God had a plan for us. He had a plan where he told us almost bluntly that if we give him back one-tenth of everything that he gives us, which is dieting, that he will take care of us for the rest of our lives. When you go home tonight, for instance, let's assume for a moment that an angel of the Lord came and appeared to you tonight and said, be not afraid, I'm from God. God wants to give you a great gift. But you have to choose between five things that he wants to offer you, but you can only choose one. So let me finish telling you about the five gifts that God is offering you, and at the end, tell me which you want, and God will grant it to you.
The first one,
God knows that you need money. Everybody does, one way or another, in order to survive. So God says that if you choose number one, you will never, ever have to worry about money, ever. The money will always be there. Somebody will take care of you. The money will appear. You will win the lottery. It makes a difference. God will arrange it. But don't choose that one yet. Wait till you hear all of them. The second one is illness. A lot of people in the world are sick. They suffer from all kinds of illnesses. And God says that if you choose number one, you will never be sick again the rest of your life, ever. And neither will your family. Everybody will be healthy. So you don't have sickness anymore. Number three is what we call in the United States dysfunctional. We have too many dysfunctional families, families that are falling apart completely. Children on drugs, running away from home, committing suicide, husbands who abuse their families and go away. But if you choose number three, you will have the most beautiful, perfect family ever. So if you choose that one, God will arrange it, that all your family will be beautiful, healthy, and everything else. Number four, another problem in the world is loneliness. There's a lot of lonely people in the world out there. We may not admit it, but we may be surrounded by 100 or 1,000 people. We could be the loneliest person in the world. And people have no friends. They walk around like they don't know who to contact. So if you choose number four, God will arrange it so that you will have very good friends. You will never be lonely. Everybody will come and see you and take care of you. And number five, God wants to give you his love and his peace. That's all. Without hesitating, if the angel appeared to me, I would say, give me number five immediately. I'll take that anytime. Because when you have the peace of God and the love of God, you don't need anything else. And that's where stewardship and that's where tithing comes in. And so let me get started and take you through a journey. Follow me, please. First of all, tithing has been described as God's perfect plan for salvation and for survival.
Listen to those words.
Perfect plan from God.
What does tithing mean?
It means that you have to give 10% of all your money back to God.
Why should you say?
Well, God gave us everything we have. He's only asking for 10% back.
In the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verses 9 to 10,
God says, I, the Lord, ask that you give me your first tenth of all your goods to pour in my storehouse.
And prove me wrong. Put me to the test.
If I will not open the gateways of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, and the windows of heaven, I will pour upon you blessings without measure.
There's no limit to what God can do for all of you.
If you give him back 10%.
And even Jacob, the grandson of Moses, said, for the battle and the victories that I win, and for you, because you will take care of me,
when I return, all the goods that I will contain, one-tenth will go back to you, because you are my God and my Lord.
And even in the New Testament, Jesus chastised the Pharisees.
He told the apostles, look at those Pharisees, those vipers, those hypocrites. He says, they do give 10% to the church, to the synagogues.
But they do it with pride. They want everybody to know, look how good I am, look what I'm doing for the church, or so forth.
And that poor woman over here, she put two coins in the collection basket.
And she has a greater place in heaven because she gave everything she had.
Now, we can argue and discuss, but we have commitments.
We have problems.
So let me take you on a journey.
If you don't mind, I'd like to take you for a personal journey.
When I left Pan American Airways in 1949,
there was a shortage of jobs in the United States.
We had been married a couple of years, Mamie and I. We had our first daughter, Maria Lennon. She was pregnant with our first son, Michael Anthony.
And I couldn't find a job, so finally my brother found me a job at a very small radio station in Corpus Christi, Texas. That's the name of the town, Corpus Christi, Texas, very unusual, the body of Christ, right near the Gulf of Mexico. And the station was so small, it only had 500 watts, that if you walked outside of the city limits, you couldn't even hear it. And I was being paid $32 a week. That was the base pay. Take-home pay was $23. They took away taxes and insurance. So my take-home pay was $23 a week. We lived in a shack, a really old abandoned shack. We were paying rent $15 a month. That means 50 cents a day. It was a shack made out of wood. Everything was in one big room, the bed, the little kitchen table, the kitchen, and the outdoor toilet facilities, of course, were outside. On Christmas, I began to think, I says, I can't live like this anymore. I looked myself in the mirror, and I didn't want to face myself. So I asked God, I says, what do I do? The next day, like a blessing from God, Mamie was reading a newspaper that we have in the United States called Our Sunday Visitor. It comes every week. Every Sunday, it's called Our Sunday Visitor. There was an article in there that Mamie got interested in. He says, why don't you read it, Tony? And it was called The Beautiful Art of Tithing. I'm giving 10% to the Lord. And I got excited. I said, let me read it. And it quoted Malachi and Matthews and all those passages from the Bible about giving 10%. So I told Mamie, why don't we try it? Now, the first question that came, do you give 10% of the base pay, which was $32, or the home take pay, which was $23? So I said, well, let's not be cheesy with God. Let's give him 10% of the $32. Which meant that I have to give God $3.20 every week. And in those days, in 1949, $3.20 was a lot of money. I could fill up my gas tank for 2 weeks. I could put steak on the table two or three times a week. I could buy a little dress for my daughter. But I made the sacrifice, and we waited and waited. A week goes by, 2 weeks go by, four, five, six. I'm waiting for the windows of heaven to open up, and nothing's coming down. So I told Mamie, I said, let me read that article again. And it's a good thing I did because I missed the most important points, and this is what I want to get you started in. Because if you do what I did, you're going to say, no, it doesn't work, Tony. But if you do what I'm about to tell you, you don't have to go through what I went through. It does work. First of all, pray about it. When you live here tonight, and let me say this very clearly, it's your choice. I cannot force you. Nobody can force you to start tithing. You have to decide for yourself. What I'm actually telling you now is that if you don't decide, don't come back 10 years from now and say, I'm still suffering, Tony. I still lack money. I'm still in poor health. You should have started tithing on April the 30th, year 2000. Let me tell you why. So the thing that you have to do is start praying that God gives you the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom. What tithing is all about, books have been written. Read the Bible. Its passages are there. 30 or 40 passages throughout the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then after you pray, you begin to realize that this thing of tithing came from God himself. It didn't come from the Vatican, from the Pope, or some cardinal, or some bishop, or some priest, or Tony Vanilla. It came directly from God. And you should do it for that reason if you decide to do it. Second, you do it out of gratefulness. Be grateful to God for everything that he has given us. Everything you have today, everything, from the clothes you wear, the food that you eat, your shelter. Everything came from God, whether we want to admit it or not, and he's only asking back for 10%. Let's reverse the process. Suppose God said, I'm only going to give you 10% of the sun that lights us and shines. We'll be here in the darkness, freezing to death. How about the air that we breathe? Suppose God gave us only 10% of the air, we'll be gasping for bread and for oxygen. How about the food that we consume every day? What if we only had to eat 10% of what we eat? I hate to say jokingly, I'll probably lose some weight. Some of you will too. But God gives us 100% all the time to all people. No, he's only asking for 10% back. Now, the third reason is this. The third point I want you to remember is don't tell anybody about it. It is also somewhere in the Bible where it says, do it in secret and God will reward you openly. In other words, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Don't come boasting like the Pharisees and say, oh, look, I gave $100 to the Red Cross or I sent $100 out to the poor children in Africa. You do it because you love God so much. Number four, Don't worry where the money is going. When you give it with love and with all the love and compassion within you, you don't worry where God is going to put it. We have a case, for instance, in Kansas City, in the United States. It is known to be the greatest tithing church in America. Do you know how much money they bring in every weekend, every Sunday? Collections, just collections.
$89,000 every Sunday, and this priest tells his congregation, and says, if I decide to burn all the money after mass behind the church, that's going to be my problem. And I have to answer to God. You're giving me good faith, and God will reward you. But the money is going for good use. Sometimes the priests, the bishops know more where they need it, and they make mistakes, it's still their problem. Your job and our job is to just give it with love. And point number five, which really should be point number one, and this is the one that's going to hurt you, I'm telling you right now. It's going to hit you below the belt, so please forgive me, but it's the truth. It's not just any 10%. It's the first 10%. As soon as you get your paycheck, regardless of where the money is coming, whether you work for yourself or you have a job or you're retired, the first 10% should be taken out and say, this money belongs to God. I cannot touch it except give it. The rule of thumb is that you give 5% to the church, your local parish, and 5% to the poor. Now, who are the poor? It could be your brother-in-law who's out of a job. It could be your next door neighbor. It could be children in Africa, like I said. Anybody you say is poor, you send them 5%. Now, what happens when you do this? Floodgates are open. When I put it into practice, a week later after I read the article for the second time, they offered me a job near my home. I didn't have to live in a shack anymore. I could live in my mother's and my father's home. And they offered me a job making $65. It doubled automatically. And I was giving the Lord 10%, $6.50 a week. I got promoted until I became the chief engineer, making $150 a week. That means that $15 every week went to God. And then I was offered a job in South Korea for $500 a week. And that means that $500 means I had to take $50 out. I was sent $25 to Maymay to put in our local church, and I gave $25 to the poor in Korea. From there, I moved to Philadelphia. I got another promotion and another promotion until I became the operations manager of the TV station. I was making $2,000 a week. That means that $200 every Friday would go to the Lord. It came so fast and so furious that sometimes I got confused. What do I do with all this money? So I went to the bank teller. I said, I need to open up a new account. He said, yes, Mr. Sunita. I said, under what name? I said, put Tony Sunita-God. The teller said to me, God, this is God. It was my money. I didn't want it to stay there. It had to be given to the poor. Money has to rotate, has to flux, has to go out before more can come in. Now, what does all this do to you?
Well, let me tell you the benefits that you will receive when you start tithing. Incidentally, if you begin tithing, teach your children when they're little, you give them an allowance, you give them $1 or $5, make them take 10%, give it to the church or to the poor. Also, perhaps some of you are already tithing. I congratulate you. Now, I don't expect everybody, I know for a fact, because I've been all over the world talking about this, to start tithing starting tomorrow morning. But maybe you could increase it a little bit more. You're giving $1 to the church, give two. You're giving five, give ten. And do it with love, with all these five principles that I told you about. But what happens? What are the benefits that you will receive? First of all, because the pressure is off, there's a lot of pressure worrying about money. I know it and you know it. Concerns, some of you told me today that husbands are out of work. Now, how can anybody who's out of work give 10%? My father used to tell me, when you don't have any money, then keep some of your time. We do have plenty of time and energy. And talent that we can give back to God. When I was in Korea, I was having such a joy just giving things to others and enjoying my life with Koreans. My father said that when somebody takes your money, they take nothing really. Because money can be replaced. When they take your health away, they take something and you'll be in pain. But when someone robs you of your time, the most precious gift that God has given us, and each one of us has 24 hours a day, they have taken something very valuable that just belongs to God. So if you can't give money, try to give some time. Go be a volunteer in hospitals, in churches, wherever you're needed. But try to give the money. Don't escape the real reality that when you give money, God will bless you abundantly. Now, what happened to Tony?
The first thing that happened when I arrived in Philadelphia, would you believe it, they laughed at me because I had nine children? All the engineers there and the physicists and scientists said, Tony, we feel sorry for you. That's why. You have nine children, so you'll never be able to afford a college education for your children. And that was about 40 years ago. Today, all of my children have gone to college and graduated. My oldest boy with a PhD from MIT in Cambridge. And as I said yesterday, maybe I forgot to say it, but I'm very proud of my wife for many things, but after raising nine children and one stubborn husband, she decided to go to college in her own spare time, and she got a master's degree in English and journalism. I think she deserves a hand. The other thing that happened when she went to college, I told God one night, I said, thank you, God, thank you, Lord, you finally fulfilled one of my wildest dreams I always had to go out with a college co-ed. Now I can carry my book, my wife's books to college. But he blesses you in many, many other ways. During the 20 years that I worked at the TV station, and I'm not boasting about it, these are facts. Aside from the fact, when I broke my tailbone, which I talked about yesterday, and I was in bed for 4 months, Aside from that, I was only 63 days in 20 years. You don't get sick. You're always helping someone else. You're always giving on yourself. After 52 years of living with my beautiful wife, I think she's been sick only three times in that time. She's just helping, sharing, giving, forgiving, loving, embracing. This is what life is all about. Now, there are many, many other things that happen when you die. For instance, I have to talk to you about my son, Lloyd. For the six sons that I have, my number five son with the name of Lloyd gave us the worst problems any family could have.
Okay, we're going to stop there with Tony talking about his son Lloyd. Please make sure you tune in next week because it's a very, very, very funny story. Okay, we've just gone past 3 o'clock, Divine Mercy Hour. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and his Son, Jesus Christ, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and of the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there is a fantastic organization in Auckland, Family Life International. You can give them a ring, get their number online, and there'll be a friendly person at the end of the phone, and you can go into their clinic and have a face-to-face consultation or just a drop-in. Their centre is 569 Richardson Road, Mount Roskill South. And yes, you can just drop in there if you need a pregnancy test, if you need EB, you name it, they'll help you. Okay, we're going to go out on the program again with that very lively, bouncy song that my son Liam composed.
Wake in the morning, all the clouds are far beyond ten. The glass reflects my smile. Lifting the blinds and all the lashes round the